name of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that'll preach. I can give the benediction and go home. Amen. My goodness, man, you're making it hard for me to preach this morning. I don't know if I can do justice with that. Amen. I have no idea. But we are just we are blessed today. Amen. I have a word I would like to share with you on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a very important day because it takes a moment out of our lives where we stop and we give thanks to individuals who for years who have nurtured us, who have disciplined us, who have guided us, who have disappointed us, who have encouraged us, who have done many things in our lives. It's an opportunity to give thanks for the good and give thanks for the bad. I found that when you give thanks for the good, it's easy to celebrate. But when you give thanks for even the bad in your life, God gives you grace and wisdom. I found that in life, many of us don't realize that we are all connected. I found that many people have found that, or believe, excuse me, that they don't need nobody in their life. I hear phrases like, I don't need no church. I don't need no God. And for some ladies, I'm not trying to cause offense this morning. I want to help you to understand. And that some ladies even say that they don't need nobody else. They got themselves. But if you take a moment and find your belly button, I would stop and ask you to find your neighbor's belly button, but I might get in trouble. Amen. You will find that your navel is a constant reminder that we are all connected to somebody. Are you with me? And in this day and time, it may not be your biological parents or your mother. It may be an extended aunt or cousin or a next-door neighbor or somebody down the block that have allowed you to become the person you are today. We spend most of our lives trying to get reconnected to someone. If you go up and down the streets of your particular community, you will find that people are trying to find a way to connect. God created us as people who need to be in relationship. And in John chapter 15, I'm going to break open some truth for you today. In order for women or mothers or all of us as individuals who are supposed to be in relationship with one another, we must understand that God says that it will not happen if you're not in relationship with me. Let me say that one more time. God says that it will not happen. You will not find your full commitment or connectedness until you are connected with God. And when you're connected with God, God gives you a supernatural, super glue connectedness that allows you to attach to the strong people of faith in order that you might propel yourself to be the person that God has created you to be. Amen. Are you praying for me? In order for me to get through in a timely manner, I'm going to teach you, but you have to follow me in the word. So will you please open your biblical text to John chapter 15? Amen. Now, those of you who have bought your Bibles, raise them in the air that I might see. All right? That's about 50%. Now, let's try it one more time. Those of you who have the word of God, raise it up high and say these words. This is the word of God.
This is the word of God.
If we live by the word,
God
will pour into us the power we need to become the people of God. This is what we're talking about. It is the Word of God that we need to learn in order that we might become whom God created us to be. Many times when you heard John 15, witness with this with me, if you will. In John chapter 15 is a chapter of hope, not a chapter of condemnation. In John chapter 15, most times people tell you about, oh, I tell you, God's going to cut you out and throw you into the lake of fire and you're going to burn up. That's not what I think Jesus was trying to communicate. I think Jesus was trying to communicate these two words. Hold on. Amen. Jesus was trying to get us to understand that he came to give us hope. Why? Because in John chapter 14, Jesus promises us the power of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 15, he gave us the illustration of how the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to hold on just a little while longer. And then in John chapter 16, the writer of John says, look, I tell you that the Holy Spirit will give you understanding and knowledge and wisdom if you just stay in the Word. And so in the midst of this, somehow the Christian church had extrapolated out of the text a word of condemnation. Why in the world would a God who loves us so much tell us about the promise of the Holy Spirit, tell us about how we need to hold on, and then tell us that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and teach us, in the middle of that say, you're going to burn in the lake of fire? Are you with me? I don't want to get too excited because I want to teach. In John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am the what? Vine. And he says, and those who abide in me, let me look. John chapter 15, verse says, I am the vine, and my Father is the what? Vine. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes a what? He takes away. And every branch that bear fruit, he what? Prunes it, that it may do what? Bear more fruit. Hear what I'm about to tell you. I'm about to open this thing up for you. But you got to have a witness. Are you with me? Yes. I know. Holy Spirit just convicted me. Amen. Are you with me, men?
Yes.
Are you with me, congregation?
Yes.
The vine here is a word that describes a single grapevine. A single grapevine. He says, I am the vine. Meaning singular. It's not many vines. It is one vine. And this vine here symbolizes the fact that God says that I am going to be the one who gives you your source of power and strength in order that the branches might sustain themselves. Are you with me? Here in John chapter 15, verse 1, he was talking to the people of Israel, our Jewish brothers and sisters. He was telling them, look, you are like this. You are like a vine. You are like branches who have been attached to the vine, who is God, and you have not bared any fruit. You are a barren vineyard. And I look to my Gentile brothers and sisters, and now I'm going to pick up those dead branches that have not been attached to the vine, and I'm going to send my son to the cross in order that he might be the super glue, and he's going to attach these Gentiles to me. Are you with me? And then he says, those branches that find themselves growing up in the midst or around the vine, I'm going to chop out. Amen? He did not say that he would chop them from the vine. He did not say he would chop them from the vine. No, wait, Pastor Finn, what are you talking about? In verse 2 and 3, listen with me if you will. In verse 2 and 3, it says this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? Takes away. Now, did he say every branch from the vine? He said every branch he will what? Take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he will what? Now, let me tell you something. I'm running out of time, but let me tell you something. I got to move. God says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in him will bear much what? Fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Now, in order for you to understand, you got to understand what was in the mind of the writer and what was the mind of our God when they wrote this text. You see, in the Israel, when a vine was planted, they don't have seasons like us. It's hot all the time. Amen? But they have some winter up in the mountains. But then the vine would grow, and as it would grow so large that the branches would fall on the ground. Are you with me? And the branches didn't know how to grow back up. And so the vine dresser, the vineyard keeper, would go in the wintertime and pick up the branches off of the ground. Are you with me? And he would wash them and clean them, and he would prop them up in order that they might bear fruit. Are you with me? And then when he saw that the leaves were dirty, he would brush them off. But then he noticed that underneath of the branches that were on the ground, there were other things growing in and amongst the vineyard. Are you with me? And he would chop them away, and he would gather them up, and he would take them over to a pile, and he would burn them. Are you with me? Are you following me? And Jesus Christ says here, I am the vine, meaning I am your source. And if you superglue yourself to me through Jesus Christ, he says the Father and the power of the Father will come through you in order that you might grow. And then he says, those of you who abide in me, meaning fellowship in me, he says, you will make it and you will have the ability to hold on. Are you with me, church? You got to understand that in verse 4, it says, for the branch, amen, to produce more fruit, it must abide. It must stay in Jesus. It means to dwell. It means to stay. It means to settle. It means to go deeper. The way to abide in Christ is by obedience. That's why God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? And so Jesus is saying that if we are obedient to him, if we're obedient to the word, the Father, who is a part of the vine, will reach down in the resources of his power and the resources of his ability and the resources of his ability to nurture us, and he will run it up the vine into our lives, and all of a sudden we will find that the things we used to do, we don't do them no more. The things that we used to hold on, we don't have no desire to hold on to them no more. But you got to abide in God. That means that you must become obedient to the word. That means it's not about what your neighbor is doing. It's not about what another church is doing. It's not about what somebody says on the television. It's what is said in the word. And when we as an individual become obedient to the word, abide in the word, then God says he's going to give us the ability to bear fruit. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? And then in verse 5, it says, can do nothing. It means apart from Christ, we as believers, we cannot accomplish anything unto ourselves. That means this, Trinity Church. If we have debt, if we have bills, if we have buildings that we want to grow, if we have ministries we want to expand, if we have programs we want to increase, it means, Trinity Church, we as leaders have to become obedient to the word. And that means, members, you must become obedient to the word. That means, Trinity Church, you must become obedient to the word in order that God might raise up the money, in order that God might develop the programs, in order that God might heal those who are sick and release those who are captives. It's about us as individuals become obedient. Does it make sense? We cannot do it apart from the word. We must become obedient. Amen? It means this as well. It says in verse 6, it says, the person is cast out as a branch. It means that a person who does not bear fruit, a person who says they're in church, a person who is a bench warmer, who come to church every Sunday, sit in the bench, cross the legs, look out, saying, preach, I'm ready for you to be done. I got my roast in the oven. I got things to do. I got all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, the longer you sit in the pew, the longer you have that attitude, I'm going to dry you up. I'm going to make your children despondent. I'm going to make your life as if it never happened. But church, the way that you get activated, the way that you get blessed, is that you get up out of your seat. And you say, God, I got to be obedient to you. I have to abide in you. Why? It's because, God, you have more than I can bear. Do you hear me, church? He says the person who sits on God, the person who is not obedient to God, they begin to wither away. They begin to fade away. And he says those things that grow up around you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know when you got an old car and it's sitting out in your yard and you leave it out there in the grass, things begin to grow underneath of that thing. Trees come up from nowhere. Things happen all around that thing. And somehow when you move that car, you'll find that there's all kinds of weeds and branches, and you got to get a weed whacker or something and take that stuff out. God says that when we remain unobedient to the word of God, is that we have weeds that are growing up in our lives. We have trees and branches and sins and things that we know don't please God. And we keep doing those things in order that we can get gratification. But God is saying the longer you gratify yourself, the longer you think about yourself, the longer you think about what you want, it's when God says, I will dry up your branch. Are you with me, church? Failure to abide produces spiritual disaster. It means the fact of God said he's not going to literally tear you and burn you up. He says that you're going to be dysfunctional in your spirituality. You're going to walk and you're going to faint. You're going to run and you're going to get tired. You're going to get mad at folk when they don't do things the way you want. You're going to get upset because somebody didn't recognize you on Sunday. You're going to get mad when the pastor asks somebody to do something and you don't feel like doing it, or you feel you better than everybody else in the life of the church. Do you hear me, church? That's the indication that you're spiritually dead. When you do what God doesn't want, and when you're not obedient to the word, it means you're spiritually dead. And church, if we're going to heal East St. Louis, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we got to get healed from the inside out. Am I helping you to understand? John 15 is talking about spiritual barrenness. It's talking about spiritual dryness. It says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask what you want. Trinity Church, when we become obedient to the word of God, he says, ask what you want. Reverend Freeman, when you become obedient to the word, ask what you want. Are you with me, church? Then he says, by this, in verse 8, by this. Whoa. It says, notice this. Notice the parallel between that and chapter. Let's turn to chapter 13, verse 35. Turn it with me, if you will, real quick. I'm going to let you guys go. I know. I just got to teach you. Amen. 35. Go to verse 35. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's all right. This is so parallel. It's striking. Look at, are you with me? 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you what? Oh, hallelujah. Hear me. The fruit that Jesus was talking about in John 15, it says, this is what will happen. Congregation, mothers, let me tell you something. Hear what I'm about to tell you. Jesus is saying that if we abide in him, if we are obedient to the word, we will have a supernatural love. You will have a love coming out of you that exudes everything. You'll have something that's different on the inside. That's why when somebody comes to Jesus Christ and they get happy and we're looking at them like, oh, that won't last for long. You know, we're missing it. God is saying that when somebody comes to Christ, something on the inside of you gets happy. Something wants you to shout. Something wants you to tap your feet. Something happens to you. And before you know it, you're celebrating what God has done. A supernatural love comes through you. So often people say, Pastor Freeman, I need more love in my life. I need to be able to love my wife more. I need to be able to love my brother or sister. I need to be able to love my mother. And mothers, you might be saying, I need to love that man. He just my last nerve. Those children, I could just smack them. They just won't listen. I tell you, what am I going to do? You might have a friend that just won't understand, and you just want to just take one moment and take them out back. Amen? But hear what God is saying. God is saying that when we become obedient to the word, stay with me, church. When you become obedient to the word, the Father who has eternal love will call up the depths of his love and send it up the vine and unto you the branch, and you'll start loving your husband like you never loved him before. You'll start loving your children like you never loved them before. You'll begin loving folk, and folk will think you're crazy. They'll say, all you do is walk around and talk about Jesus. All you do is walk around and smile all the time. It's because God has a supernatural love that he's pouring through you. Are you with me? Are you sure you're with me? That's why he says, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Why? It's because the world will know that you got it when you know how to love. Can I tell you? This is a Christian word here. I'm about to tell you. We walk around and say that we can't judge one another. That's a lie. Jesus says you can look at the fruit and you can judge them by what comes out of them. If they don't have the capacity to love, Jesus says, they don't have it. If Jesus says if they don't forgive, they don't have it. If they got a grudge, they don't have it. If they got pain that they won't let go, they don't have it. Are you with me? Jesus says that you'll find yourself trying to get mad, but then you'll get happy and the Holy Spirit will smack you and you'll come back and you'll say, I gotta forgive them. I gotta move on. Are you with me? Listen, hold on with me now. Hold on. I'm almost done here. So Jesus is saying this on Mother's Day. In order for us to hold on, he says this, first of all, that Jesus is the key. Amen. He is the glue. He says, in order for us to be effective believers, we must maintain our relationship with Jesus. Amen. And then he says this. Jesus wants his followers to become productive. Jesus doesn't want us sitting around having a whole year and we only take in 20 members. Can you imagine? We got 100 folk in here. And 100 people can't bring 20 people to Jesus? Come on, church. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to tell you, moms, on this blessed
today, on this holy day, that we're recognizing you. You're saying, Pastor Freeman, where's that wonderful Mother's Day message? My God, you beat us up so bad, I don't even know if I want to come back next Sunday. Lord Jesus. Are you with me? Are you bleeding? Man, I'm in triage right now, amen. I don't know about you, I'm talking about myself. Amen. But Jesus, this is the good news. I'm going to talk to you ladies today. Is that when somebody mistreats you, and when that special man has walked on you for the last time, and that son or that daughter is hooked up in something you can't get them out of, when you find yourself being mistreated because you are a woman, when you find that your back is against the wall, when you find that you still, as if you're back in the 16th, 17th century, you got to protect your man, you got to protect your children. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus says that if you come to me and you give your life to me and you attach yourself to my Father's vine, I'm trying to tell you, if you hold on, I'm going to bless you. If you don't give up on your child, I'm going to bless you. If you don't give up on your man, I'm going to bless you. God says, I have something great for you. But you need to get your life in position to get blessed. Are you with me? And once you get in position, all right, with the Lord, God blesses you. Listen to this. Listen to this. I know when we have big family reunions, where I'm from, we got my great-grandmothers or my grandmother. Let me tell you something. Everybody be acting a fool. I mean, they eating ribs and y'all, they doing a little drinking. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They get a little buzz out in the back. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or they slip out in the car and get a couple lines. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And when that coke meets that reefer or marijuana and meet the drinking and the partying and the food, attitudes get up in the air. Am I talking, y'all? Am I talking? All right. Now listen to this. Now, when grandma walked in, everybody got right. Am I talking? When grandma used to walk into the big feud or something going on, she would come in and say, all right. Everybody stop, back off. Start looking at us. No, no, no. This is the guys. Yeah. Yeah. They back off. And then Big Mama come in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Acting like pure fools up in here. What's wrong with y'all? Sit down, boy. Acting a fool. Am I right? And the same thing is true when you get yourself obedient with God. It's as if Big Mama's walking up in your life and getting all those demons and problems and kicking them to the side and saying, what's your problem, depression? What's your problem, child? Get out of this woman's life. Get away from this woman. Free this woman up that she might enjoy the fruits of her labor. John 15 is a chapter of hope. And so I'm trying to tell you, mothers, hold on just a little while longer. I know it gets tough. I know it gets dark. I know you get frustrated. Ladies, I know you get frustrated in church. You're waiting for us men to rise up. But don't you get weary. Don't you get tired. Don't you stop working. Don't just stop doing. Don't stop. Why? It's because God has something in store for you. He's going to raise up 100 men. He's going to raise up your sons and your daughters. But he wants to know, will you be obedient? Will you hold on? Will you stay with me? Will you stand and abide in the word? Will you put your life in obedience to what God desires? Will you get in position? And he says, when you do that, I'm going to pour out on Trinity blessings far beyond what you can see and dream. I know I'm preaching long, but I can't stop myself. Trying to teach y'all these folk right here condemning you women because they said if you don't walk right, if you don't pay $100, you're going to burn in hell. That is a lie. Jesus wants you to be obedient so that when you give, you'll say, Jesus, I remember when I was sick and you visited me. I remember, Jesus, when my husband used to beat me half to death. I remember when you met my son on the corner. I remember when you met my daughter at college. I remember, Lord, when I was lonely, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was lonely, I found you. You know, Jesus, when I come to church, I don't come to get blessed. I come to say, Jesus, whatever I have and such that I have, I give it to you, Jesus. And Lord, when the offering comes, I say, Lord, what's in my pocket? Lord Jesus, I tell you, here, Father, it's yours, Jesus. It's yours, Father. And Father, when I kneel at the altar, I give thanks to you, Father, for what you have done. When I get up off that altar, joy, unspeakable joy, fills my life. I got to shout because Jesus has done it for me. Hold on. Woo, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Woo! Hold on. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Hold on, Trinity. It's coming, Trinity. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Have you lost it? Woo! Have you lost it? On this Mother's Day, have you lost it? Are you detached? Are you detached? You go to church, nothing happens. Got problems? You don't have to have no problems. See, problems don't got, problems don't have no degree to it. Amen. Problems don't got no income barrier to it. Problems will meet you wherever you are. But Jesus says, hold on. Come to me. All ye that burden heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have a special lady who's going to come, and she's going to sing a song. And as she sings that song, this is Sister Collins. Now, I met this young lady 20 years ago. 20 years ago, and I was at the Edgemont post office. And somebody walked up to me and said, Pastor Freeman, how you doing? I said, Lord, have mercy. Doing fine. In the back of my mind, must be one of Trinity members. Amen. She says, you don't remember me. And as soon as she started talking, it came back. It came back. And she said, Pastor Freeman, I'm singing all over the place. I said, well, when are you going to come sing for us? And so we're reconnecting some old friends back from Springfield. And so Sister Collins, will you come and sing for us? And as she's singing, I'm going to open the doors of the church. I know it's Mother's Day. I know. But I want you to get what I'm getting. Amen. I get frustrated. I get tired. And I'm saying, Lord, when are you going to make it happen? And the Lord tells me every time, Pastor Freeman, shut up. Get on your knees. I'm going to work it out. I have this. Pastor Freeman, I have this. You be obedient. And I have this.
Let's welcome Sister Collins. Amen.
We worship you in the Spirit. Lord, we worship you in the truth. Lord, we worship you in the Spirit. That's what we wanna do. If you would just join in with me. We worship, if you would stand, you in the Spirit. Lord, we worship you in the truth. Lord, we worship you in the Spirit. That's what we wanna do. We worship you in the Spirit. Lord, we worship you in the truth. Into